You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
This is the Rodo Experts in the Morning. Alongside the fantasy executive, Corey Parson, the king, Scott Angle, and Wall Street Matt Modica, I am Greg Sussman in a bloody, bloody Sunday around the NFL. I will say this. If I hear one more fantasy expert or fantasy analyst be like, oh, this is the capper on the day. This is crazy, the craziest week we've ever seen. Oh, of course, Sharkhandrick West is the one that scores. Like, you know what? You say that every damn week, right? If some random player scores on Sunday night, this is the capper on the week. You know, it was a crazy week. I get it. It was a bloody week. Like, was it really crazy? I don't know. Kind of reminds me of every week of fantasy football. That's the game we play. Scotty, good morning.
Good morning, Greg. It's definitely a dramatic day, I'd say, from the pure NFL perspective. It was very entertaining and a lot of great innings and exciting ball games. The Seattle game, the Green Bay game, the San Francisco game, you know, all three of those, you know, were, dramatic, you know, I think Carolina-Detroit was exciting to a degree yesterday. So I think it was an entertaining day of overall football and some interesting performances that I'm sure we'll get to. But then, you know, like you said, it was bloody as well, you know, with some more significant injuries.
Yeah, it's funny because I thought, you know, actually the 1 o'clock games really were kind of terrible. Mm-hmm. I thought they were actually really, really terrible. And I was sitting here and I was like, listen, I get my fantasy team is getting blasted, and I'll get to that in a second. I get that my NFL team is getting blasted even though they were winning the game at the time. But these were terrible. I thought the Cowboy game, as you mentioned, was fantastic. The ending of Los Angeles and Seattle obviously was good too. San Francisco, Indianapolis, whatever. But, you know, that's kind of how I took it. Matty, what's going on?
Yeah, it was a crazy day, as you said. I agree with you. I thought the 1 o'clock, so it was kind of garbage football. The play was less than optimal. The endings, for the most part, really weren't good. But, I mean, losing Odell Beckham is, to me, the highlight of the day. Seeing him go down.
It's called the low light of the day.
Yeah, or the low light, as you want to put it there. That was a major, major blow. But, you know, some good things did come about yesterday. Currently sitting third overall in the primetime with NFFC Hall of Famer Christopher Cairo on our primetime team. So, yeah, got to look at the positives in life.
Yeah, you got to look at the positives. Some of which is very frustrating. I mean, I'm going to obviously talk about my team because it's kind of what I do. But I faced a team that was like decimated by byes. So he literally started three guys he picked up like almost two on Sunday morning and one over the week and one during the week. Dude started Marlon Mack against me. Dude started Torrey Smith against me. Dude started Jermaine Kearse against me.
Oh, wow.
Touchdown, touchdown, touchdown. It's brutal. Brutal, brutal way to lose. All right, we take a break. When we come back, we'll give you an update on the Giants. Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Marshall, Sterling Shepard, Dwayne Harris, a whole lot more. It's Rodo Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money and lots of it by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Rodo Experts in the Morning. And all right, let's begin here in New York City, really kind of across the pond in Jersey, with what the hell happened with the Giants yesterday. First, you see Sterling Shepard go down, immediately grabs his ankle. And you're like, all right,
out for the game. It's fine. Kind of looks like he sprained his ankle a little bit. All right. Sucks. Couple plays later, down the left sideline, Brandon Marshall goes up, actually holds on to a ball, out of bounds, but holds on to a ball, and he immediately clutches his ankle. And you're like, oh my God, this is brutal. Two receivers down for the Giants. This is terrible. Like, the guy that would have seemingly stepped up with Sterling Shepard gone, and the guy that would step up with Brandon Marshall gone, both gone. Okay, a little bit later on, Dwayne Harris, returning a kick. He goes down. Breaks his foot. So the guy that could be replacing Brandon Marshall, the guy that could be replacing Sterling Shepard, he then breaks his foot. And yet somehow, mainly because they own Odell Beckham Jr., the Giants are still winning this football game. Mainly also because the Chargers are absolutely horrific. Like, horrific. Eli throws a high pass. Chargers, completely clean play, take out Odell. And in the middle of celebrating taking out Odell, talking their crap, all of a sudden they wave to the sidelines, get your asses out of here, because Odell is hysterical crying on the field, and he has a fractured something. Surgery, you heard he's already in surgery. Surgery's coming tonight. Surgery's coming tomorrow. He at least has a broken leg. We'll see what the ligament damage is to come. The Giants lose their top.
There's a fractured ankle report.
Fractured ankle, you're right, yes. Mm-hmm. Fractured ankle is correct.
Yeah.
We will see the ligament damage to come. That was the latest. We'll see if there's any ligament damage along with the fractured ankle. You're absolutely right. The Giants lose their four top receivers in one day in a decimation of the New York Giants, which sums up their season, which has been a total colossal destruction.
Well, from a fantasy perspective, it's another huge injury. We've seen David Johnson go down. We've seen Dalvin Cook go down, and now you're talking another top five pick here in a lot of drafts. You've already seen David Johnson go down, and it doesn't look good for Odell for the rest of the season. Although we were not sure, they're saying the early reports are that Sterling Shepard is week to week, but this team goes to Denver, looking shorthanded, and look at the Giants' schedule from a pure football perspective. I was looking at it, I was like, wow. When is this team going to come up with its next win? I don't know. But from a fantasy perspective, is Eli Manning even a viable QB2 without Odell Beckham? Will Roger Lewis be worth a pickup now? Those are the questions. And not to mention, you didn't even mention Orleans Darkwa going out with a calf injury when he looked pretty decent yesterday.
Yeah, the Wayne Gallman thing, it's funny because I always like looking back at the waiver wires from this past week, of course. And Latavius Murray, the number one guy, still to play here tonight. The other two were Aaron Jones and Wayne Gallman. We'll get to Aaron Jones here in a bit. But Wayne Gallman, as predicted, on the bench. He's on the bench to start this game. Orleans Darkwa, as Scott mentions, looks pretty good. Gallman rotates in. Orleans Darkwa comes back in. He scores a touchdown and then isn't seen for the next three drives because Ben McAdoo is an effing moron. Wayne Gallman comes back in. Orange Dogger hurts himself, as Scott mentions, at the calf. And now the Giants lose their top two running backs along with their top four receivers. Like I said, absolute total destruction. And even then, they should have won the football game. Crazy.
The Giants had many opportunities. And look, maybe it's the best thing for them, though. They need a franchise quarterback. With all these injuries piling up, even if they don't get the number one pick, there's three guys that could have that upside at least. So if you're going to suck in a year, this is probably the year to do it.
Yeah, in my group chat with Giants, it's all about, can we get Sam Darnold, right? Like, suck for Sam! We're in it!
Well, you got to compete with the Browns for that.
You do.
There's a lot of things they need, obviously. It's like, could they go one more year with Eli and, if they improve the offensive line and the running game? At his age, maybe he can still be a pretty good game manager. Maybe you wait 2 years for it. But from a fantasy perspective, like, you like the defense a lot before the year started. Now they're really going to spend a lot of time in the field.
Now, if you're the Giants, you have to get that franchise quarterback. That's the only thing you care about right now.
Correct.
I mean, that's
absolutely.
God
willing, you're only in the top three every 20 years or whatever. You go get the quarterback. Totally agree with you if you're the Giants. As Scott mentioned, Orleans Darkwa scores a touchdown this game. Actually looks pretty good, as he has really every time he's gotten out a chance. Him and Wayne Gallman both look fine behind this brutal offensive line. Paul Parker's the only one that sucks, and he's the only one he's playing. So Who knows? But without Beckham, without Marshall, without Shepard, without Harris, Scotty mentioned that Roger Lewis is the guy that is going to step up. He's the only receiver left on the roster. They have three on their practice squad, the Giants, including Travis Rudolph. Tavares King, I believe, is on another team's practice squad. I'd be shocked if he's not re-signed to the active roster, as he's been in training camp with them and was on the team last year. But pickup-wise, you look at Roger Lewis. He'll be
the man. Guy, right?
He'll be absolutely the guy. I spent a lot of money on him and foul. We'll talk about that tomorrow. I was also very surprised, gentlemen, that Evan Engram held off the scoreboard entirely yesterday, off the game card, when he would really be the man. So you think he was totally taken out yesterday, Scott?
Yeah, they were running three tight end sets, and none of them could really catch the ball. But you were getting 4 and 40 from Engram every week. But I think he'll have to step forward now because the Giants can line him up in the slot, etc. You mentioned Roger Lewis, and Eli's got some familiarity with him. So some people may be reactionary in your league if you play in a mainstream league and they might cut Engram. You scoop him up right away.
Well, I mean, Ingram's basically like a wide receiver. He's the, you know.
Oh, yeah, he's the little guy. Yeah. Now he can actually play wide receiver.
Yeah,
too.
So, I mean, you could slot him in there. Hey, look, it's just, it was just an awful day around the league. It wasn't just the Giants that.
No, of course. But the Giants had, they were decimated. But we start there.
The whole thing with Odell is after Antonio Brown, he was the second receiver I would take off the board.
Sure.
I mean, he was playing since he was back, playing every down, healthy. I mean, he was dominant. You could not cover him. The Giants had no other wide receiver, and he was still getting wide open.
Yep.
Yeah.
He should have had a touchdown yesterday, and Eli overshot him.
Yes, absolutely. It was like I said, a bad day for the Giants. On the other side of things, with Chargers, Melvin Gordon, like many teams facing the Giants this year running the football, really looked very good. Gets over 100 yards rushing, also dominated the passing game, caught 2 touchdowns, caught 6 passes for 58 yards as well. Really strong performance from Melvin Gordon. Nice to see a little bit of a bounce back from him.
Yeah, you look really good from the get-go, both running the ball and catching the ball. Whenever there wasn't something available downfield, and that often happens against a Giants secondary, Rivers dumped off to him, and he took advantage of it. Melvin Gordon looked really determined yesterday. If he was playing hurt, he certainly overcame it and gutted it out.
Yeah, no, he looked great. I tweeted out earlier that morning that he had 8 consecutive games without 100 yards, only 300-yard performances rushing in his last 17. And, he did it all on the ground, in the air. So, yeah, as Scott mentioned, if he's hurt, that was a hell of a performance.
Yeah, he might have. Look, there were reports that he was really aggravated after not getting the ball last week. And yesterday he went out and tried to prove a point, and he did.
Yeah, he did. He played very, very well against the Giants. Passing game-wise, didn't really get much going throughout the game. A lot of it was Melvin Gordon. Phillip Rivers missed Keenan Allen a bunch.
He missed Travis Benjamin wide open.
Oh, my God.
I was furious about that.
Yeah, he missed Travis Benjamin. He missed Keenan Allen a bunch. Allen finished as the leading receiver, 4 for 67. Did have 12 targets to lead this team. Hunter Henry gets the obligatory tight end touchdown against the Giants. Antonio Gates does not, 2 for 23. Hunter Henry, 3 for 42. And it was with Brandon Oliver out. It was Austin Eckler. He was Austin Eckler picking up the scraps behind Melvin Gordon, carried the ball 4 times, went nowhere. He catch 3 passes out of the backfield for 28 yards. But the story of this game was Melvin Gordon.
Oh, without a doubt. It was Gordon. The question is, if you're a Gordon owner, it's all about the knee. As long as he's healthy, look, it's always been about volume. It's not really pretty when you look at the yards per attempt and all that kind of stuff. But he can catch the ball. He has a nose for the end zone. So if you believe that he's healthy, you're holding on. If you think this is a possible time to sell high because of his knee, you got the opportunity.
With the state of running back right now, though, it's like if you think twice about doing that, I think what I would do, I have Gordon in one league and I have Eckler as the handcuff, and I'm just going to leave it at that because like so many running backs have been disappointing or have gotten injured. You know, if you have a guy like Gordon, I think you might want to stick with him.
Yeah, I know. I totally get both sentiments, to be honest with you, Scott. State of running back's been very, very tough. And if you have Melvin Gordon, you're in a good spot. But, the other thing is that if the knee injury is serious, this is the opportune time to trade high, sell high. So I really do understand both philosophies here. And I can't really fault you for kind of looking both ways.
It depends on what you get, And you look at like the – you know, Carlos Hyde now all of a sudden he's looking hurt again. It's like there's not DeMarco Murray's not performing well. Jay's not performing well. We'll see what we get from Jordan Howard tonight. You know, if you have a guy that can produce like that every week, I'm not saying don't trade him, but you better get a pretty significant return.
Well, you say every week and perform like that every week. And up until this week, Carlos Hyde was that guy, right? He was absolutely that guy. And he had a very bad week this week. So I want to take a break. We'll come back. Let's talk about Carlos Hyde here. Let's talk about Matt Breida. And let's talk about this overtime thriller between the Niners and the Colts. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
A beat on the beat.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network, Roto Experts in the Morning. Oh my goodness. Reading reports of the Dolphins offensive line coach here and seeing pictures as well.
I wish we'd have known this before we drafted Jay Ajayi, that the damn old line coach was snorting cocaine.
Come on.
Why? So you could have drafted him earlier?
No, so I would have, you know, well, I passed on him anyway, but we all could have passed on him.
Who amongst us hasn't done lines with a stripper in the room?
Raise your hand.
My love to them.
I have not. Oh, well, I've had a stripper boy in the room, but I've never done any lines.
When, Scott?
What?
When?
I'm not going to say when. Could have been this weekend.
Oh. Well, I hope the queen is listening.
She might have been in the room with me.
Oh, this is crazy. I'm watching the video. Now.
It is crazy. In a way, I do feel bad for this guy. Like, you know, it's such an age now. Where, like, everything comes out.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I just wish, as a Jay Ajayi, that somebody who doesn't own, as a fantasy player, maybe this is why they offensive line.
I'd be more concerned about Jay Cutler than the guy doing coke.
Yeah,
I would too.
Yeah, you're right, man. At one point yesterday, Jay Cutler had 33 yards passing. I think it was in the third quarter. This guy, they made a tremendous mistake with the Jay Cutler. Because now you can't bench him. You feel what I'm saying? You got to pay him.
At the halftime interview, Gay said, unless Cutler gets hurt, he's staying in there.
He can't do
that. Yeah, I heard them say that during the game.
Matt Moore, you know.
I think somebody's going to trip Cutler in the team facility over the next few days.
Something's going to happen where Jay Cutler's going to get injured because somebody go. Hopefully the offensive line coach don't owe nobody no money.
Somebody's going to slip Jay Cutler one of those funny cigarettes and hopefully tells a drunk.
You're really going to tell me that
Colin... Somebody go kidnap Jay, put Jay Cutler in the trunk.
You're really going to tell me that Colin Kaepernick couldn't be better than this guy?
Colin Kaepernick.
Come on.
It scares Greg.
The first thing I thought of.
It's always the first thing you think of is Colin Kaepernick. I can't do the Kaepernick thing. It's just the...
Just from a pure football perspective,
it's just a conversation. But him not being on a team is not a football. Poor favorable situation by any means.
I know.
So.
It's ridiculous.
All right. Well, not going there.
He was in Harlem yesterday, over the weekend.
That's wonderful.
Why are you hating?
I'm not hating. I we can't talk about Kaepernick from a football perspective because it's not a football perspective. The reason he's not on the team has nothing to do with football. I think we can all agree with that at this point. Let's talk about the 49ers. This is Kyle Kaepernick's former team. And let's talk about Carlos Hyde, who Scotty mentioned just a couple of moments ago.
Okay, Mr. Sussman, let's get into it.
Sorry, I'm trying to just talk about games rather than cocaine and Colin Kaepernick.
The cocaine thing is funny.
Especially considering a team.
Hey, we get it. You're biased against the Dolphins. We get it. The Colts defeated the Niners 26-23 yesterday in overtime in a game that was like kind of boring and then really kind of picked up. In the fourth quarter and into overtime. And as a Carlos Hyde owner, I sat there being, where the F is my guy? And I was like, all right. The announcers say they assume he aggravated his injury and whatnot. And then all of a sudden in the fourth quarter, there comes Carlos Hyde trotting down the field. And I kept watching on the sidelines. He was sitting there next to Kyle Shanahan with his helmet on the whole game. I'm like, what the hell is going on? He comes out in the fourth quarter. He gets a goal line carry. He really mixes and matches in the fourth quarter on overtime. Hyde finishes with 8 carries for 11 yards. One reception for 7 yards. And after the game, they asked Kyle Shanahan what the hell was going on with Carlos Hyde. And he goes, oh, his hip's fine. He feels good. I played the matchups. Matt Breida looked better, so I put him in there. And I'm like, are you freaking kidding
me? This is Kyle Shanahan. You know that, right? This is the same Kyle Shanahan from January. From February, from Super Bowl Sunday. Listen,
overthinking himself is what he's doing.
Exactly. And that's a part of the problem with Kyle Shanahan. But when you look at the fish is happy. When you look at what happened yesterday, I think you kind of got to play it like how we played Melvin Gordon the past couple weeks. Like, you know something could be up health-wise. Maybe the carries are not going to be there. But you got to keep rolling them out there. Go get breathing and keep rolling hard out there. That's it. That's all you can do.
You have to legally, by the law of the law of the NFL, be truthful on the injury report. But there's nothing that says you have to be truthful to the media after the game. So we'll find out later this week. But obviously, Hyde was hurt. Otherwise, there's no way Carlos Breida gets any
Matt Breida
gets any carries over him. So
I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with you.
You just said, "Are you kidding me?" When you about his post game comments.
The "Are you kidding me?" was not about him lying. Carlos Hyde played the fourth quarter in overtime. I don't think he was hurt, man. I think Kyle Shanahan is a nutcase, like Corey says.
I think there's something to it. And like me and George yesterday on Fantasy Football Live, like he was like, well, he's just going with the hot hand. He's averaging whatever, 6-7 yards a carry. But I was like, but this is your horse. Yeah. You don't give him 5 carries.
I get it,
and say, well, he's not getting it done. You know, he's a guy that on his 15th carry can just take it to the house.
This is like he said. This is why I think he was hurt. And why I think Shanahan was lying. That's your guy. You don't go with a hot hand approach with Breida when you have Carlos Hyde. And you see how Carlos Hyde has played the first few weeks up until yesterday. Why would you all of a sudden go with a hot hand approach?
So you're telling me why he came back in the fourth quarter after not playing the entire second half. He goes back in the fourth quarter overtime after not playing the entire half. He all of a sudden, he's not warm anymore. And you bring him back on the field. If he's hurt.
It would be the first time that we've seen a player exit the game with an injury and come back.
But if he is hurt, too hurt for the entire second half, he's standing on the sideline. I watched him. He stood there. He was not in the trainer's room. He wasn't in that blue tent. He stood next to Kyle Shanahan all game.
Maybe there was something medically that they knew or whatever. I don't know. I can't speak to it.
They probably, what Greg is saying is making sense. They probably just were playing Breida.
I think they just played Breida.
What a disaster.
What would you guess the snap count was yesterday between Breida and Hyde?
What was the total?
The total is 68.
I would say 38-30 Hyde.
I'd say 38-30 Breida.
I didn't see enough of this game. I would say 38-30 Breida.
Right. So it was 35-33 Breida to Hyde. They basically split touches in this game with Hyde playing judging by the snap counts, Hyde plays the entire first half and does nothing, right? Like, as an owner, you watch him, he plays the entire first half and does zippo, nada. Comes to the second half, clearly, in my opinion, Kyle Shanahan wants a spark plug out of Breida, gets a couple of nice runs, and you get late in the half. He didn't get what we wanted of Breida. He put Hyde back in. And that's how you get to these snap counts. If I am just guessing, which is what I'm doing, I think he benched him. I really do. I think Hyde might have mouthed off to him at halftime inside the locker room and said something, and he put his ass on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, you could be right. I don't get it. The guy's looked so good this year. You're going to bench him on 5 carries? That makes
no sense.
I am totally with you.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I mean, I think you could have something there. I mean, the hot hand, I don't get it.
But if we're going with that narrative right there, then I wouldn't worry about it. The next week, he's at the doghouse, and he's right back in the starting lineup.
That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah. That's not a long-term concern.
The doghouse thing, they were just talking about giving him an extension.
Right.
On Saturday, like Greg said, you never know what could have happened. Sunday, he could have told you, go F yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Well,
go F yourself. You know what? I'm going to put your ass on the bench.
Nothing
you
came out in the media about disciplinary reasons or anything like that.
You don't want to lie about the injury. So
I think we're just wildly guessing here, and probably the best one that we've met that anywhere seems close to the truth is a hot hand approach.
No, so I mean, nothing came out of the media of a disciplinary thing because I think it happened at halftime during the game. Kyle Shanahan's not coming out and saying, "Oh yeah, I benched Carlos Hyde because he told me to F myself in the middle of the game."
Yeah,
I think it was more.
I think that's a wild guess.
Why? He played the entire first half, then goes on the bench, and then comes back. Why is that a wild
just
guess?
Just a hot hand. You don't know what happened in the clubhouse.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if anything happened. It could have been one of those things where he saw Brady looking good and he just stuck with that. Which, I mean, it doesn't make sense because, like you say, I mean, Carlos Hyde was getting it done in the passing game this year. I mean, he really was, and it's like
my point was ultimately, as Scott brought up Melvin Gordon and said, "Listen, you know, you have these hot running backs, and on last week Melvin Gordon looks absolutely atrocious, and here he goes over 150 total yards and looks really good." Carlos Hyde, you know, on the other hand, you know what you're getting from him. I think it's one of those games where Carlos Hyde, kind of like last week, he stunk, and I think he's gonna be okay next week. I'm not like out on Carlos Hyde.
I'm just concerned about the health. That's what I mean. Last season. I mean, he was, the thing was yesterday, he got one target, had one catch. Last year, he had 27 receptions on 33 targets. Having one target and one catch yesterday, he stands at 23 targets and 18 receptions. I just don't understand why you're not using your best player.
Again, I'm with Corey. It's Kyle Shanahan overthinking things in a major, major way. Let's continue on here. So, for the 49ers, another thing that really boggled my mind a little bit, seemingly after the first two drives, Pierre Garçon had 5 catches and 51 yards. I remember it, like, distinctly. After the first two drives, 5 for 51. He finishes a game that went to overtime with only 3 more catches for another 40 yards or so. I don't get it. Maybe it's an adjustment by the Colts, which is a great job by them. But you're feeding Pierre Garçon, and you went away from him. Doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, it didn't seem to make sense either. You thought he was going to get off to this great game, but, you know, sometimes it just happens in the NFL. If a guy's going to have a certain receiving line, it happens during a certain portion of the game, and then the defense will make an adjustment, etc. But, you know, to Hoyer's credit, late, you know, he found other receivers late, especially George Kittle when it counted.
Well, I have to think that after that first drive or so, the Colts were like, we got to take Pierre Garçon out. I was watching the Red Zone and, you know, hosting the show, so I wasn't watching every play in the whole game flow. But that's what I have to assume. They said, look, this guy's beating us. We got to take him out.
Yeah, football's a constant game of adjustments.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's exactly what it did. And then it was George Kittle that really stepped up for this team. As Kittle, 7 catches, 83 yards, and touchdown. He was the go-to guy at the end of the game for Brian Hoyer. And Corey, with the state of tight end, George Kittle's about to be somebody that is going to be...
He's going to be coming off of waiver wires this week. Like you said, the state of tight ends, if you can't... I mean, if you're probably struggling with one. I think Kittle's the guy that you come in there, you can put a waiver wire claim on. He's going to be like the rest of the field. You know what I'm saying? Pull a tight end from a hat and see what happens. But, hey, why not?
Why not?
Hey,
it was Ed Dixon Day yesterday.
Yo, that was the craziest thing I've seen in my life, yo. When I saw the box score, I was like, who the hell is Dixon?
I'm sitting on a couch yesterday with my friend, and he goes, Ed Dixon has 4 catches for 152 yards. I'm like, do you mean 52? He goes, no, look at this. 152. I go, you were wrong. This app is incorrect.
He was wide open down the middle of the field, and I was surprised he didn't break it all the way. He was constantly getting open downfield yesterday.
Yeah, every highlight from the red zone was you would see Ed Dixon running down the field, nobody around him.
I wouldn't know who he was if I saw him.
Yeah,
Ed Dixon can walk in this studio right now.
On the other side.
Is that him?
No, that's Danny. Oh. That's Danny Oakes. Ed Dixon.
We'll take a break on the other side. We'll talk about the Colts. It's the Little Experts in the Morning here on the Fantasy Sports.
Ed Dixon don't have blue hair.
Radio Network. Not that you know of. Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning, and listen, we can all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to 3 guys every single day that help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. Scott just turned his head randomly. All right. The Indianapolis Colts defeated San Francisco, as we said. And, Corey, I said this earlier in the show, but I need to repeat it because it was the most absurd thing ever to me. I had a nice little week in my league, right? Like, put a good amount of points, still with Jordan Howard tonight. Like, I should be in a good position to win. With Jordan, you know, I have 116 points with Jordan Howard still to come. I'm like, okay. You know, it's a fine week. Nothing wrong with that. Can I tell you who my opponent played against me?
Who? Please don't say Ed Dixon.
Torrey Smith.
I saw that coming.
Marlon Mack.
I didn't see that coming.
Jermaine Kearse.
I saw that coming.
Yeah.
That sucks, Greg.
Yes.
You had to eat all of that.
I ate all of it. Every player on his team scored a touchdown last night, except for Le'Veon Bell.
And you felt like you had a W going into the week, right?
I felt like I had a W going into the week.
How much you lose by?
I'm currently down 25 with Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard not going to score 25 fantasy points tonight. What will your record be?
3-2.
That's not bad.
It's okay. Yeah, it's a good little team.
It happens.
It's a good little team.
Yeah.
There's a lot of points. You know, you want to score points and see what happens.
That's the BFFs?
That's not the BFFs.
The BFFs got
Hopkins last night. That was an issue.
Sorry about that.
Hey, it's not your fault. All right, back to the Colts, though. I spent most of my week last week in that league where I lost trying to acquire T.Y. Hilton because I was listening to you guys. You go, this is it. This is the week. You acquire him before this week because luck is coming back, although not as soon as we think, again. And ultimately, you're going to want to own T.Y. The window is now shut.
Because it's over.
He's had his big week, went back into a lull, and now he exploded yet again. 7 for 177. He was down for a little bit, too. There's a lot of tweets from people like J.C. Lee. Oh, my God, not T.Y. too. But Hilton comes back in overtime. Gets the big long pass. Leads his team in targets, leads his team in receiving. And, hey, we give a lot of crap to the Colts and Ryan Grigson. Ryan Grigson wouldn't have pulled off what Chris Ballard did.
The Jacoby Brissett move was brilliant.
The Jacoby Brissett trade was brilliant because they knew they had a quarterback that was useless. They traded a useless player in Philip Dorsett away for a quarterback that could move the offense. I'm not saying Jacoby Brissett's a pro bowler, but he can move the offense. He's a perfect backup quarterback, and he has the Colts at 2-3 in a division where the best team in the division just lost two of their three best defensive players.
Yeah, he dodged a bullet, too, though. He almost threw another game-sealing interception in overtime.
Yes, but he can move the offense. Yeah.
But, I mean, look, he's throwing the ball. T.Y. Hilton had a great matchup against Rashid Robinson yesterday, and Brissett at least gets the ball, gives him an opportunity. And that's sometimes all you look at what Watson did last night. He was giving his receivers an opportunity. He was throwing some jump balls, and they were coming down with it.
Brissett is what you want. In the NFL, what you want your backup quarterback
exactly.
to be. To move the team, try to minimize mistakes, and he's also mobile, too.
Yeah, he is. And he can move the football.
Which is
all you could ask for from this team, which is good. He doesn't throw for a touchdown, but does throw for over 300 yards yesterday, 314 to be exact. Marlon Mack rushed 9 times for 91 yards and a touchdown. He almost had a second touchdown. I almost threw something. I literally almost broke the TV I was watching. Frank Gore, 14 for 48. Marlon Mack, if he wasn't owned, he's going to get picked up now. He was dropped already because he did battle some injuries a couple weeks ago. He needed the roster spot. You may have dropped him, get picked up. Marlon Mack, you know, is the future out there in Indianapolis.
Yeah, we've all been waiting for the fall off of Frank Gore to happen ungracefully. I think it's happening here gracefully. I think what you're going to continue to see over this season and definitely into next season is – you know, Marlon Mack is going to be eased in more, and Frank Gore is still going to be part of the picture, but I think he's going to have a graceful exit here, and you're going to see it start morphing this season. It's going to be a timeshare going forward with Mack being the better fantasy player.
Yeah, I think so, too. I don't know how many years Frank Gore has left on that contract.
Yeah,
but
well, I don't think Frank Gore's back after this year. I think this is the swan song.
I'm not saying he'll be done because I think he can still play. But as a starting running back...
They'll still give him the ball. He'll still have his role.
As a starting running back in Indianapolis, I think his time is done. Going not this year, but next year. I think Marlon Mack ultimately will be the guy there. Guys, you were talking about Miami here a moment ago, so let's talk quickly about the Dolphins and Tennessee. You know how last year I kept saying, like, you ask me, oh, did you watch the game? You'd be like, no, that's a disgusting game. This was that game, the Dolphins and the Titans. I couldn't be less interested in a football game if you begged me to be. The Dolphins win this game 16-10. Jay Cutler throws for 92 yards.
Well, I guess behind that old line.
This game was worse than the Jets-Browns, believe it or not.
You can't completely blame the line, though, either, though. He was overshooting. He was inaccurate. Then he lost Devontae Parker to an injury. And just like, there was one spectacular play in this game that got nullified. There was like a 52-yard touchdown to Delanie Walker that got called back on a penalty by Jonnu Smith.
Yeah, so Jay Cutler sucked, and it didn't help when Devontae Parker left the game after his first catch with a sprained ankle. It was a day of sprained ankles around the NFL, especially for these wide receivers. So Parker catches his first ball, sprains his ankle, and he leaves. And we know that Devontae Parker obviously has an injury history, as do other guys that got hurt yesterday. But Parker has an injury history, does have ankle issues as well, and we also, Corey, know that, and Adam Gase has called him out for this before, that
it's the difference between being hurt correct. And being injured. He could be hurt. But then be like, I can't deal with Jay Cutler. I'm out. I'm out. Jay Cutler's crazy. The offensive line coach is snorting cocaine. I'm out of here. I'm
how
finished.
Bad must Matt, finished. How bad must Adam Gase think of Matt Moore to say, we're not going to Matt Moore until Jay Cutler gets
he's
hurt?
He's being stubborn. He's like, this is a veteran quarterback with a proven pedigree who I've worked with before. You know what? I didn't want to, but I got pulled into all the narrative in the preseason about how Cutler's a gunslinger. He's going to add life to this offense. It makes you almost want to have Tannehill back.
No, no, it's not that bad. It's not that bad.
I think it is.
Yeah, it actually is. Yeah.
I think it is.
Matt Moore
I should have known better than to endorse Jay Cutler for anything. I've been burned too many times with that in the past.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you, Scott. Jarvis Landry, 5 for 44 to touchdown. I remember I was playing him in this league where everyone scored a touchdown.
That was the most fascinating thing yesterday that he actually scored.
And I'm just like, I promise you, Jarvis Landry about to score a touchdown. In cut, out cut, boom. And I was just like, this is
only
one of those
fifth time in his last 26 games.
It's just one of those days. J.J. rushed the ball 25 times yesterday, which is great. I mean, you love seeing him. Much like Melvin Gordon, just touched the rock a million times. Ajayi gets to 77 yards rushing on 25 carries. His long was 11, and I watched it.
Lost the fumble. He did lose two there.
He did lose the fumble. A bad fumble loss, too. And, you know, I watched this game with him, and I'm watching with the Jay Ajayi owner, and I'm like, hey, Jay Ajayi looks fine. It's not his fault. It's just when you have a quarterback that can't do anything, you're stuck.
Yeah, the defense is going to, you know, be ready for the run. Let's let Cutler beat us because we can't. He can't even throw for 100 yards.
I mean, you want to be encouraged because, I mean, the opening week, he was out on the field for 64, 68 snaps, 28 rushing attempts. Then the next 2 weeks, he only had 23 rushing attempts combined. But he gets the 25, but, I mean, this offense looks like a total sinkhole.
You like that?
I do like that. Yeah. I just think it's just crazy. The Miami Dolphins situation is wild.
It was Jay Cutler versus Matt Castle yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that Jet Brown game was a better watch than that.
The Jet Brown game was the other game. Whatever.
Not the first half, though.
For the Titans, Matt Castle almost left this game. Injury came back before he could.
Brandon Whedon was in the game.
Yeah.
Whedon never played.
Oh, he never played?
He warmed up to come in and never played.
Yeah, Castle took this big sack, and it ended up being a fumble and returned for a touchdown.
And Castle came back.
Whedon started warming up, and Castle, unfortunately, stayed in the game.
It's not unfortunate. You're happy the guy didn't get hurt to stay in the game.
Unfortunately for the Titans.
Is Brandon Whedon better?
Can he be any worse than that?
Yeah, he'd be Jay Cutler.
No, Brandon Whedon sucks, bro.
Matt Castle's better than Jay Cutler was yesterday. That's for 141 yards and a touchdown. True. Zero interceptions. Took six sacks, which is an issue. DeMarco Murray, 14 carries, 58 yards. And my buddy Frank Stample was all on Rashard Matthews this week. It did not work.
I had to play him somewhere,
too. 3 for 34.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, the way I played Rashard Matthews that I benched him. Well, I played Rashard Matthews over Sammy Watkins yesterday. He outscored him.
That worked out.
Oh, my goodness. That guy right there. Listen, he's going on the bench.
Yeah, Sammy Watkins has the Jaguars coming up, so he's got Boohay and Ramsey.
That's useless. Yeah.
Janoris Jenkins and somebody else. That's his next three games.
He's going on the bench.
He was on Sherman's side he's most going on of the bench. Day.
All right, you want to talk about Sammy Watkins? Let me ask an honest question. Why? What are you holding on to Sammy Watkins for?
You know the talent.
You got to hold on to him. Look, he's got a tough set. Who are you picking up in the waiver wire? You're going to put
There's nobody with that kind of talent on the waiver wire.
I put him on my bench, but there's no way in hell I'm cutting Sammy Watkins.
You can't cut him, but his ass is going to the bench.
Here's two things about
Sammy
Watkins.
People want to cut Cam Newton.
This is true.
You can't get over
that.
But Cam Newton has the football in his hand, so he can make things happen. Sammy Watkins got to get the ball from somebody who doesn't seem interested in giving him the football.
Here's two things. Number one, Sherman was on him most of the day yesterday. Number two is that, you know, with the way Jared Goff spreads the ball around, is that, you know, Watkins, when you least expect it, you know, could find himself in some good matchups where Goff will take advantage of. Goff is going to hit the open guy, and for most of yesterday, that wasn't Watkins.
No, I mean, you just look at Sammy Watkins' game log, man. Like, this dude,
he's nothing.
Nothing.
He's. I hate to say it. I hate to. He's nothing.
He's nothing.
He needs to cut his hair.
Tyler Higbee had the kind of line yesterday you expect from Sammy Watkins.
Can I ask you this? When is Sammy Watkins? When is Sammy Watkins going to be any? Like, you look at the schedule. You look at the way the offense is. And you, Sammy Watkins isn't going to just become a thing.
Because what happens is if he has games like this, the opponent's going to watch the game film and say we need to stop Kupp and Woods or et cetera, and they're going to find ways to get Sammy Watkins open. When you don't expect it, he's going to have a good game. He's totally unreliable.
And that's not good for fantasy purposes, though, Scotty, because you're never going to know when that's
coming.
He's
going to become the Andy Dalton of wide receivers. When you expect a good outing, he's not going to get it. When you expect a bad outing, he's going to go off.
I don't want to be the Andy Dalton of anything.
I feel like he's probably like a better comparison than Andy Dalton. Seems.
You never know what's going to happen with Andy Dalton.
We'll talk more about the Rams and the Seahawks and this close one. Get through all the games here next 3 hours. It's Roto Experts in the Morning. It's Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's a Roto Experts in the Morning. So, L.A., they had 14 carries, 43 yards for Todd Gurley. A disappointing display for them because, Scott, some teams have been able to run the football against Seattle this year. Carlos Hyde comes to mind. Todd Gurley never got anything going.
No. The last 2 weeks, they've kind of shut it down against the run. And Corey and I were just talking about this during the break. He appeared he was going to have a touchdown on the first drive, but Earl Thomas, like, knocked the ball out and caused a fumble and a touchback on their first drive of the game, and the running game just never recovered after that.
Yeah, it just never happened. Is Tyler Higbee one of these tight ends people are going to run a pickup?
I mean, if you do,
he's played good the last 2 weeks.
I think I would rather go with somebody else.
I think you know, when you look at the state of tight end, how undependable and unreliable guys are, I think you got to throw a flyer out there.
I'd rather go with Kittles and Njoku before I fool with Higbee.
Now, Higbee's looked good the last 2 weeks. You know, he has.
On the other side of things for Seattle, you know, from a fantasy perspective, wasn't a great game, you know, all around. Obviously, only scored 16 points. Russell Wilson throws for under 200 yards, throws for the touchdown, does rush, you know, for another 16 yards. The running game was a disaster, kind of as we expected it to be, right? Like, if you spent money on Eddie Lacy or Thomas Rawls, as Matt mentioned multiple times last week, it was a pit.
It was a money pit.
It was a money pit. And that's exactly what it turned out to be between Rawls and Lacy and McKissick and whoever you want to put in there. It was a disaster running the football yesterday.
Well, as far as McKissick, he's involved in the passing game. He ended up with 8 PPR points if you went out there and used them, and a few people did. You know, it's not going to be Lacy. I think it's going to be going forward. I think it's going to be Rawls and McKissick. It's going to be a timeshare.
I ended up with 8 PPR points. I ended up with six and change.
All right. So, you know, I made a mathematical mistake.
I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything.
You're going to mark my paper? You know, I failed the math test. But you know, Rawls, at least yesterday, a few times he ran with a burst. Lacy runs with no burst. I think if Rawls can stay healthy, it's going to be him. If not, you're going to see a lot of McKissick.
Yo, I want Greg to be like a substitute teacher in Bed-Stuy.
McKissick
catches Bed-Stuy kind of getting gentrified, though?
Kind of.
McKissick catches those 3 passes for 36 yards. So any running back you would have played or picked up yesterday, an epic disaster in Seattle. Receiving game, again, Doug Baldwin, very disappointing, 4 for 37. And I understand, Doug Baldwin, It's probably going to shut up at some point.
Doug Baldwin to get it going. I'm not worried about Doug Baldwin like I'm worried about some of these other wide receivers. I'm not worried about
Baldwin.
You know
what's happened with Doug Baldwin the last 2 weeks? A big part of his game is yardage after the catch.
Absolutely.
And secondaries are shutting it down. They're keeping everything in front of him.
I agree. But that's a legitimate concern going
forward. They feel like we don't want Baldwin to beat us. Let's see if Graham or Richardson can beat us.
I agree. And Scotty, the Seattle offense, you get the touchdown from Jimmy Graham, you get six catches, only 37 yards. I mean, it's a really good fantasy game, no doubt about it. But projecting forward, like, should we be concerned if we own these Seattle skill position players? Baldwin, I guess really just Baldwin and Graham.
I think Baldwin's eventually going to come out and get his, depending on what the matchup is, too. Maybe it's a good time to buy low on Baldwin. Look at the state of tight end. Graham's been consistently giving you double-figure production every week. It's not what you necessarily expected, knowing he had a healthy offseason, but it's still
pretty good.
Who would
you rather have, ROS, Jimmy Graham or Jason Witten?
Probably Jimmy Graham. More chances for touchdowns, yeah. I think.
I mean, look, as much as Jimmy Graham's been getting killed, he's last 3 weeks, 14.2, yeah. 10.1, and 15.7.
It's not doing bad, yeah.
You know, I'll take that.
It's like
compared
you said,
to what the other tight ends are doing.
It's like we said about the Thursday night game. The expectations aren't there, but it's adequate.
Yeah.
Question. Should Cooper Kupp have caught in that pass? I mean, he hit his hand. Look, he had it extend.
Should he have caught it? I'd say no. Scott was extremely conflicted on the play.
I was not conflicted whatsoever. I'm glad he didn't catch it. But that was he could have did, but I think that would have taken a really superhuman effort to catch that. That was thrown a little bit out of his reach, I think.
He could have caught it. Should he have caught it? I don't know. Hour number one is done. We'll take a break. Come back right after this.